historian David Ewing provides the best of those. We're lucky to have him on Tuesdays for Nashville History in 30 Minutes. We've just wrapped up the three-part series on Ryman Auditorium, which you can listen to on our podcast page, among other conversations. Midday180.com is where you can find those. And today we discuss a Nashville staple, as Paul would say, a delight, Hat Show Print Company. David, how are you? Good morning.
Wonderful, Hutton. Great to be with you and talk about one of my favorite places in Nashville, Hat Show Print, where I was my first job in Nashville. I worked there for a few years when I was a teenager.
What did you do?
It would be nice to say I made some great posters of rock and roll acts or country music stars, but I cleaned off. After a poster was done, I would clean the ink off the wooden letters and put them back in the tray. So I guess did a little bit of preserving. So yeah. Those same letters are the great letters that are being printed today that Paul has in the background of his office there on his wall. Most of the letters from Hat Show Print are from the 19th century, these great wooden letters.
That's an important piece of the process. I wouldn't downgrade your thing.
Yeah.
But behind me here, I have Kings of Leon, Mark Knopfler, PK Unleashed, my own posters, which I invested big money in, and I have a lot of them sitting. It was a failed purchase, Hutton, because I made it.
It was?
Pickers Vodka. And Pickers Vodka is no longer part of my deal, sadly. I have a U.S. versus Paraguay soccer match from LP Field. Coldplay, the first game at the new First Tennessee ballpark. Neil Young, Springsteen, Mumford & Sons, Rolling Stones, who are going to play tomorrow night. I heard that one's off. And the Women's Final Four lining my office. David Gray, Ray LaMontagne, one on my floor, and several others upstairs that didn't make the cut from my office.
Hat Show Print, David, is the oldest show business printing company in the world. Do you view it as a working museum in some ways?
It is totally a working museum, and that's the beauty of Hat Show Print and the Ryman. You could have just had either one of those be a museum, and you could look at the old posters, and you could look at the old letters, and you could look at the old printing press, but they still use those same block letters and print posters all the time. Now, Hat Show Print, of course, because of the virus, is temporarily closed from in their new home of the Country Music Hall of Fame, but when the Hall of Fame gets back up and running, they'll be back up and running too and printing some posters, even though a lot of the events that I'm sure they were printing posters for have been postponed themselves. Hatch always has kind of an interesting backlog of orders. And of course, the Grand Ole Opry, the circle has not been broken. They're performing every week. And so Hatch has had a long affiliation with the Grand Ole Opry, actually going back to 1939, even before the Opry was at the Ryman. They started to print posters for the Grand Ole Opry.
So Reverend Tom Ryman, we've discussed that at length over the last 3 weeks, the name behind Ryman Auditorium and the Tabernacle. Hat Show Print Company, formed from two sons of a reverend. Is that right?
Yes. Reverend William T. Hatch moved to Nashville in 1875. He was in the religious publishing area, and then he finally started his own newspaper, business newspaper, in 1879. Sadly, that office burned, and then he died the next year. But his sons, Charles and Herbert, opened up their own printing business in 1879 in the Printer's Alley area where the Nashville Banner Building was. They worked out of that banner building for many, many years before they had their own separate location.
So they started there, and the original equipment, all of that is still intact today. That business you just mentioned, is that a replica of what they tried to put together at the Country Music Hall of Fame?
Well, it's interesting. The Hat Show Print has moved around a lot over in the 19th century. The area of 5th and Church Street, where the 5th Third building is today, there was something behind there kind of running parallel to the arcade called Hatch Alley, and they had a location there. The most famous home of Hatch Show Print before their current home is where the Batman building is on 4th Avenue, kind of right across from the Ryman Auditorium. The Hatches built that building just for their print shop. It was there from 1924 to 1992 when they moved to Broadway. And that's the building I used to work in. And it's interesting, when I walked in the building that's at the Country Music Hall of Fame, the new press, I talked to my friend Jim Sherarden, who was a longtime manager of Hatch, and I told him it reminded me of the 4th Avenue location. And he said that that was the biggest compliment, because I was one of the few people that remember that location as well as the current one.
How long was it on Broadway? Because that's where I discovered it. And it felt like a place, and I knew it was a long time institution, so it felt like a place that had been there forever. I presume a place like that, and I imagine a lot of people who came to town, presume that had been there forever. Like a place like that wouldn't have been as mobile as it turned out to be. That's why I was so surprised when it moved to the Country Music Hall of Fame thing. I was like, this, a place like this doesn't move. A place like this, people move to it.
Well, Paul, I'm actually very happy it's in the Country Music Hall of Fame. They moved to an old furniture store, the Mayfield Furniture Store on Lower Broadway, in 1992. And the architect, Gary Everton, who also did the Pinnacle Building here in this town, basically was told by Bill Ivey, the head of the Hall of Fame, to basically make this building look like it was authentic. So they basically stripped the building down to the wooden floors and the bare walls and the 16-foot ceilings, and put all this great, you know, equipment, these old presses, the printing blocks. And so it really looked authentic. This was kind of before It City. I was always worried that, you know, someone would vandalize the building, or one of those buildings would catch on fire and the whole block would be burned down and you would lose, you know, over 100 years of history and blocks and carving. So Hatch is a museum itself. It belongs in a museum, but it's a working company and they're still cranking out posters.
So how long were they on Broadway?
They were on Broadway from 92 to 2013. When they moved inside the fairly new built Country Music Hall of Fame.
Historian David Ewing with us. Coming up, we'll discuss some of the contracts they've had over the years. They worked out a deal, I believe, with the Grand Ole Opry, how they were introduced to that route whenever the Grand Ole Opry was at War Memorial at the time, David?
Yes.
We'll set that story up. And also, we'll go way back in history to the very first print job that they had, and the history behind that. And the other note I want you to tell the story behind is their phone number, which I think will be very fascinating for people today in 2020, or if you've had a cell phone, for instance. Well, more with David Ewing coming up. Also, 2 degrees of separation. David Reed will try to stump David Ewing next. Midday 180, queued up by Ellie's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. For our area. Check out his website, NashvilleHistoryOnTour.com. His Instagram is a must follow. Are we close to 10,000? When we started this,
we're
at 8.
Probably like 200 away from 10,000. Thanks to you all.
The Nashville I Wish I Knew. At The Nashville I Wish I Knew you can follow him.
And if you go to my Instagram, The Nashville I Wish I Knew, I've linked the Hatch Show Print Instagram, which is a great Instagram to follow. And my friend Jim Sherarden, who was a longtime manager of Hatch and retired a few years ago, his Instagram's there, and just unbelievable art that he still creates.
Tell us the phone number for Hatch Show Print in the early days.
In the early days, we didn't have area codes or 7-digit numbers. We had just 3-digit numbers, and it was 805. And it's interesting, as Hatch has moved around all the locations, including the Country Music Hall of Fame, they kept the 805 in their number. So today it's 615-256-2805 is Hatch's number. So that's another piece of history that Hatch has maintained.
Their very first handbill that they put together was for a reverend. All of these stories over the last few weeks tie back to church and a reverend, it seems. But it was Reverend Henry Ward Beecher. I'll let you connect the dots there. But that was the first actual job that they were paid to do.
Yes, and Jim and Hatch recreated this recently. It was a lecture, and back then in the 19th century, there were a lot of lectures as well as concerts, and so he hired the Hatch brothers to do it, and they did a recreation of this poster from 1879 during their 120th anniversary. So Reverend Henry Ward Beecher, of course, was a very famous person in the country, abolition and a lot of other things. And so it's interesting that their very first poster was kind of an iconic institution. Later, a few years ago, there was an anniversary, 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, and the U.S. Post Office made a stamp, and they got Hatch Showprint to design the Emancipation Proclamation anniversary stamp.
The old woodblock type and the letterpress, I describe it as if you go to a concert and you leave with a Hatch Show print, it's been you were Nashville notarized. That show was
yeah,
Nashville
that's
notarized.
A great way to put it.
And I'm curious, when did it become national? Do they have national jobs, print jobs, or was this just a local deal where if you were in Tennessee, you would see these posters on fence posts and telephone poles and on, you know, doors as you went into an establishment?
They always had national jobs. Movie theater chains like the Bijou chain here in town, the Knickerbocker and the Princess Theater, Elvis Presley, Hank Williams, you know, everyone ordered their posters from Hatch. It's funny, people like Hank Williams and Patsy Cline actually picked up their posters themselves, that they would go in the shop and pick them up. And, you know, there's a story that's in Jim Sherarden's first book on Hatch Show Print that talks about Hank Williams picking his posters up, you know, going down to Louisiana to get married. And when he picks up his bride, he sits in the back seat on the freshly printed posters, and his white suit has the ink of Hatch. And you could see all the acts that are performing with Hank Williams on that. So kind of ruined his wedding suit. But, you know, Hank liked to pick up his own posters.
How did their relationship with the Ryman come about? Seems like 9 out of 10 shows I've been to there, the artist has signed up for the Ryman poster deal. It's always a disappointment when he or she doesn't sell that unique poster for that unique Nashville show.
Yeah, I think a Nashville bucket list for any artist is to have a Hatch Show print and to play at the Ryman. Gaylord Entertainment bought a Hatch Show print in the 80s when it was probably just going to close and go away. They were going to take, or they took some of the presses out to Opryland to print them and have posters out there. It didn't go over so well, so they decided to donate it to the Country Music Hall of Fame. Gaylord, of course, bought the Opryland properties during that time too. So there's always been a tight bond with Hatch Show Print and the Grand Ole Opry and the Ryman. That 4th Avenue location, which was where the Batman building is today, that was right across the street from the Ryman. So it was very easy for people to have their posters done. And today, as you said, whether it be Mumford & Sons or the Foo Fighters or, you know, all these great acts that book at the Ryman, there's usually a Hatch Show print. And if you don't go to the merch table like an hour before the show and buy it, you know, it's usually gone by the time the curtains goes up, and you could buy it on eBay later, maybe for a couple $100s. These are in such demand.
David Ewing with us. Each week we have 2 degrees of separation with David Ewing. And this week, Chad's on furlough, so David Reed steps in trying to stump David Ewing, trying to connect an historical place or a historical person or thing, a moment, to Nashville. Reed, what do you have?
So this week we're going to go with a particular organization, and this was sparked by a podcast that I recently listened to called Winds of Change. I won't spoil it for you, but it involves a song, a band, and a certain intelligence organization within the United States. So I'm wanting to see if David can connect for us either the CIA or the FBI to Nashville's history.
Okay. The FBI. The FBI was run by J. Edgar Hoover, and very famously, the building is named after J. Edgar Hoover. I remember interviewing the late John Siegenthaler about Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy was one of his close friends, and John was driving Bobby around to interview with senators to basically see if they supported him being Attorney General of the United States, because it was controversial because he was the brother of the incoming president. And John Siegenthaler told me that they would drive up and he'd hop out, and Bobby Kennedy would hop out of the car and talk to a senator, and he'd be all happy and come back, and his face was just sunken because none of the senators thought it was a good idea. But they drove to the FBI building to see J. Edgar Hoover, and Hoover actually thought it was a good idea that Bobby Kennedy be the Attorney General. And so, you know, despite initial problems with that, it turned out that we have the Attorney General of the United States being close friends with John Siegenthaler in their trip to see J. Edgar Hoover.
A final Hat Show thought here. They were exposed maybe in a new way to a lot of the country through the NFL draft, which wisely they chose to display one for each team. They had the AFC and the NFC on each side of the stage. I was snapping pictures like crazy to get art for my site, and it wasn't their intention to sell them until there was huge demand for them. I'm surprised it wasn't their intention to sell them. It was a money-making jackpot there. Ultimately, they did sell them to great demand, but certainly great exposure for, for Hat Show, and not in the music venue, but in the sporting venue.
I asked my friend and manager of Hat Show Print today, Selene Aubrey, about that they printed up, the NFL had them print up posters for every team, and they were just going to be for the super fans that, you know, get to be on the stage and all of this. And then they did not know that the NFL would blow them up, you know, electronically, and there'd be this large part of our draft stage. She reminded me that in 2016, the Goo Goo Dolls printed up every single Hat Show Print poster from all of their tour dates in 2016, which was 48 all over the country. And so... That was also kind of how Hat Show Print went national. But there's a wonderful new book out on Hat Show Print that's Jim Sherrardon and Selene wrote. It's $15, which is basically, it's a full color paperback book with all sorts of photos and of your favorite Hat Show prints, from Keith Urban to Elvis to Garth Brooks to Trisha Yearwood. And it's a great gift. And like I said, for the cost of one of their Hat Show Print replicas in the gift shop, you can buy this. You could also actually go online while they're closed during this pandemic, but it's always good to support artists and creative people.
David Ewing, follow him on Instagram at the Nashville I Wish I Knew. Go ahead, David.
The last story I wanted to tell you, if you walk into Hatch, you have all these creative people working there. And I asked Jim, how did this start? It really started 29 years ago. There's a private school here in Nashville called Harpeth Hall that they have a winterim program, an intern program for their students. And Harpeth Hall students started interning at Hat Show Print. And Jim would go across the country and talk about letterpress printing and Hat Show Print. And as he said, he went to every single city twice on the back of the Southwest Airlines napkin. And he would also get asked about, how do I get to work for this great company? And, you know, they set up an intern program, which they still have. So today, we have some of the most creative people interning at Hatch for a period of time, and then they'll take this skill back to their hometown and keep this kind of letterpress legacy alive, as Hatch has done for, you know, since 1879.
We love them, that's for sure. David, thank you so much, man. This is always a real treat to have you on, and it's cool to learn more about our city.
A lot of fun.
Thank you. See you all soon.
Yep. David Ewing has been our guest. Again, follow him on Instagram. A great follow if you like going back in time and seeing what Broadway looked like, for instance, in the early 1900s, or the area where Nissan Stadium now sits, what that was in the late 1800s as they float logs to all these lumber mills down the Cumberland River. He's got photos and artifacts and all kinds of things at the Nashville I Wish I Knew on Instagram. Some news for the NHL, for the countries involved, and a new agreement that's in place between the United States and Canada, and how that affects the Predators. Next, Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.